All right, all right, all right. It's a News According to Me. Good morning Just a good morning. It's Friday, June 10th, 7:15 a.m. And this is our mission, should you choose to accept it. I forgot what it was, so just never mind. In a world where one man with a microphone, who's not a doctor or a lawyer, he's not an epidemiologist. That's all, folks. He's not an epidemiologist. I never did my stretches this morning with my face. I usually do face stretches. Can you hear that? That's me doing face stretches. Yeah. I don't do that. I just wake up and start talking. That's what I do. This morning, I usually talk about what's in my cup. So I'm gonna get that out of the way right away, because I got a lot of stuff to jump into here. Because if you didn't notice, for those of you who didn't notice yesterday, I'll point it out to you now so that you are aware. Because maybe you're not aware yesterday that there was no show. Yeah, I didn't have a show yesterday. Many of you may not have even noticed that. Probably the majority of Americans didn't even know that I didn't have a show yesterday. Which is, when you stop and think about it, you could have 10 million followers, 10 million listeners, and the majority of Americans will not have heard your show. Still, a perspective is sometimes really kind of good to have. Just because it's good. You know, people can start thinking they're very important. Much more important than they really are. I mean, your life is important, don't get me wrong. It's just people can kind of develop this idea in their own head that they're somehow super duper important people. They're, you know, you can get a little haughty. Let's just put it that way. And that's not a good thing to do. It's just, you know, you need a little perspective sometimes. 7 billion people on the planet. And just when you start thinking about how many people know about you, how many followers you have, and then you start thinking about how many people don't follow you and don't have a clue who you are. You know, there's got to be close to 7 billion people who've never heard of me before. That seems like a lot. Just saying. Wow, what's coming out of my cup is pretty good this morning. Especially my cup. What my cup says on it, it says, and this is pretty much the story of my life. It says, I'd agree with you. Actually, it says I'd. It doesn't say I would agree with you. It says I'd agree with you. But then we'd both be wrong. So much of that is so true. And what I'm going to talk about today, it just kind of goes along with some of the things I'm going to say about the news cycle and everything that's going on. Of course, the January 6th Commission now has just come out, started its little charade. This whole thing is just, it is the culmination of and the epitome of the putrid, ridiculous leftist agenda put on display for all to see. They are, I've tried to listen to some of it. The only way I can listen to it is by listening to it when there's like someone else. Like I've been listening to Robert Gavea. He's a lawyer. He's been basically showing kind of live, doing live commentary throughout the event. So he's kind of giving a legal perspective of everything that's going on. And of course, this is all based on the idea from the very beginning that the whole thing's a charade. But the most important thing is they haven't even gotten to the most important issue yet. They haven't even introduced it. They haven't even talked about it. I don't even think they've mentioned even an innuendo or a dog whistle about it. That is what's in my cup. This morning I have, as I was saying, I got this cup here, and in the cup is some supposedly vanilla chai. it doesn't taste that vanilla-y. This new brand that we got here recently, it just doesn't have quite the same. I don't know what it is about this chai thing. I discovered this chai at Sam's Club that was really good. You could buy it in this big, huge tubs. It was like a, you know, like a regular coffee can style tub, like a big, big thing. You could make, you know, you get one can of that, and you could, it'd last you a month, or, you know, for me, about a week. And it was good. It was vanilla chai. It was really good. Of course, then they had pallets of it in at Sam's Club. Well, then Sam's Club, all of a sudden, the pallets of vanilla chai went away, and all they had was spiced chai. And I don't really care for the spiced chai too much. I got it once, and I was like, that wasn't that great. And don't get me wrong, it was better than the stuff they're putting out now. I don't know if you can still get the Mystic Spiced Chai at Sam's or not, or if they ever come back with the vanilla chai or not. That's worth my Sam's membership right there. But I haven't seen it. And so the only thing I'm seeing, I went without chai. I was chai-less for a while. I was going to write a book about being chai-less. I grew up a chai-less child. So that went away. And then I find this Pacific chai up in a store in some other state somewhere. I think it was up in Wisconsin. And I found this chai. I was like, so I bought a couple of these just to try them out. They were smaller containers. It was good. It was actually decent. It wasn't Mystic vanilla chai. But it was okay. It with a little creamer, you know, I can make it work. So I did that. Well, then that started disappearing. You go to the shelf there where it normally was, and it was mostly gone. There was not very much of it. I just had a sneeze. I had to push my little mute button there for a second. That was quite the sneeze. You didn't get to experience it, but trust me, it was quite spectacular. So this chai was, it's my chai story. And I ended up getting this other chai that finally the Pacific chai was kind of hard to find all of a sudden. So now this other chai has popped up on shelves. It's a different brand name. And it's not as good. It's like it's gotten progressively worse. I don't know what's the deal with that. Why has chai become? Now, I know some of the Oregon chai and the stuff that's spiced, the West Coast spice chai stuff, is not chai. That's like coffee that they've made into something. It's not even good. I don't like it. It's too spicy. It makes me thirsty. I don't like stuff. I don't like drinking something that makes me thirsty. It doesn't make any sense to me. It has to make sense as it's going down my esophagus. There's a lot of stuff in the news, and I've spent enough time on the important things this morning about chai, the chai story stuff. Yesterday, the reason there wasn't a show is because I got up super duper early. Didn't get up quite as early as I wanted to because I got to bed late the night before. I spent Wednesday night pretty much all evening, all day. Well, I spent all day working. But then in the evening, I finally made it to the boat about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, something like that. The boat is about an hour away from me. And I got up there, got to the boat, and started working on it. I needed to wash it, get it washed down a little bit. Because it was extremely filthy. I didn't realize how filthy it was until I started doing some. I got a little power washer and started power washing the thing off. Oh my word! The boat looked almost black, and then I realized it was actually white after I washed it. There's a lot of dirt on it. Let's just say that, and it's much cleaner now. So I got that done, and I had to put the sails up on it. The wind was, of course, blowing the absolutely the wrong way, putting sails up. It wasn't bad. There wasn't a lot of wind, so that was helpful. Got the front sail on. Got a roller furling jib. For those of you who know what that is, got that put up by myself. By the way, thank you very much. Thanks for all the help, folks. And then I put the main on. Got that all done. And got that all put in the bag and everything. I got the sail cover on it. Got it all flaked on there. And then got it all cleaned up, and I cleaned everything else up. Got the battery chargers going. I got all the stuff going. Got it all done. I got a solar charger on it. I got solar panels on it. So it actually stayed. The battery stayed up all winter, which was fine. Well, then got that all done. Got it all buttoned up and got home about 11 o'clock at night. And I had to get up at 6. Or I had to leave the house, I should say, about 6 o'clock. So, because I had to go over to the place where we're going to take the boat and then pick up. Actually, I drove there. My wife drove there. And then we picked up. We went with I left my car there. A fellow who was going with me. A fellow sailor who also has a boat there at the same marina. We took a little drive up to where the boat is. It's about an hour away, 45 minutes. And got on the boat. She dropped us off. And then she goes, she actually works in the town where the boat was. So she went on to work, and then we came out. We got on the boat and filled it up with fuel, topped it off. It took a whole 2 gallons, spent about $10 on that. So, power boaters, eat your heart out on that one right now. By the way, this energy crisis thing, that the fuel prices are devastating. I know what's going on right now in the RV market. They have all these orders piled up for the next year. They get their way out there with orders. Those orders can be canceled. And I guarantee you, RV dealerships right now are seriously contemplating canceling RV orders. This whole thing is going to, it could collapse very quickly. And we are going to see a market drop. There's a very, very delicate balance in the RV industry. And when I say RVs, I'm kind of including the whole umbrella of everything from travel trailers, motorhomes, all kinds of recreational vehicles, be it motorcycles, four-wheelers, those kinds of things. Off-road vehicles like that. Just the ability, and even large truck sales, like pickup trucks, that kind of thing. As well as anything like a boat, power boats especially, and sailboats. The marine market for normal consumer marine market for smaller boats had tanked after 2008, and it never really recovered fully until, believe it or not, COVID hit, and then the marine market all of a sudden sprang back. People wanted to buy boats like crazy. Used boat. I had bought a used boat about 2 years before this all happened. Didn't pay much for it at all. Offered the guy cash and got it. It's just the guy didn't want it around. It was on a storage lot, and it was a boat storage area. They just basically wanted to get their storage money out of it, and I offered them some cash, and they let me have it. They just wanted to get rid of it, so I picked up a really good deal, like less than half its market value, on the typical used market value. Well, then it almost doubled in market value in 2020. Amazingly enough, I mean, as things went on, the used boat market went ridiculous. Now, I know people who couldn't sell their boats. There's this weird thing about boats. It's when you want to find a particular boat and you can't find one for sale anywhere. When you have a particular boat and you're trying to sell it and you can't find a buyer anywhere, it's the weirdest thing in the world. The boating market is... The consumer market is very, very specific and very strange, especially in the sailboat industry. Not just everybody wants to, has a sailboat or wants to be a sailor, wants to learn how to sail, to get a, most people can buy a powerboat and turn the key and make it work. Sailing is a whole other thing. I kind of grew up with it, so I kind of just learned it, kind of taught myself. I had a little sunfish on it as a kid and just kind of learned how to do it. But this whole thing with the energy prices and the way this happened back in the 70s, I remember it very well because the first time I ever had ever experienced anything close to a recession in my life, I was a teenager. And I remember very well what this did to the economy, what it did to the RV industry. Because my parents both worked for RV industry. My brother was also at the same factory building RVs. And I ended up working in an RV factory. And it was same place with them eventually. And it was, I worked at a couple others as well. Fuel prices are have a direct effect on that market, on that industry. And as the RV industry goes, it seems that it's almost a foretelling of what's happening. And the consumer market out there, the people who have a little bit of extra money, they want to buy an RV. This is extra spending type stuff. You don't have to have an RV unless you live in one. You're not going to buy one if times are tough. And you're certainly not going to drive it around or even want to be in one if you can't afford to drive the thing. My motorhome right now, if I had an empty tank and I went to fill it up, would cost, I believe, let's see, if I do the math right on this, current price of diesel. Yeah, it would be close to about $600 to fill up my tank right now. And that's a lot of dough there. That's a lot of shekels. That's quite a few Benjamins, whatever you call them. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Stop and think about it. I mean, for me to do a trip of any kind, just to go visit family on the East Coast and come back, it's going to cost over $1,000. Now, if I take my car, it'll take a lot less money, but then I have to put the dogs in the... I can't take the dogs with me if I take the car. I guess I could, but it wouldn't be a fun trip. And there's no place for them on the other side. We'd have to put them someplace. So I'd have to do something with them. It messes with everybody's state of mind and economy, the whole thing. And, of course, we're being told that it's all the fault of the oil companies are taking advantage of you and they're raising prices. And yeah, I got to tell you something. The oil company, believe it or not, the fuel market in this country is extremely competitive. Oil companies don't just start raising their prices willy-nilly, because if BP all of a sudden raises its prices, and there may be some kind of... It's completely based on futures right now. Whatever the oil prices are, but the barrel price of oil is, they base the price of their fuel based on future sales. I'm not going to get into all that. It's an economic lesson I have to explain with charts and graphs. I'll wait till the live show. I won't have charts and graphs, but I'll use my hands a lot. Some of the interesting news has been going on. You know, when we have a problem with some kind of crazy man attacking a school, who do you think of, the first person that you think of that you want to have on set, on the podium, speaking to the American people from behind the podium? All right. Matthew McConaughey steps forward. and gives us a long speech that says nothing about anything. And he's one of these people who, and I always get nervous about politics. He wants to be a politician now. He's interested in politics, but he's talking about running for governor, I think, in Texas. Here's the problem we have with this mentality. When someone steps up and says, the American people want to do this, or I talk to people like this, I talk to people that I talk to gun owners and I talk to this and that, and everybody wants sensible, this is what everybody wants. Well, you didn't talk to me. And what you're saying everybody wants doesn't match up with, first of all, what I agree with. And I would have to say what doesn't agree with all the people I know that I talk to about this stuff. So I don't know who you're talking to. This whole thing about red flag laws. Here's the biggest problem we have. We politicians do this all the time, and after a while you start catching on to it, but it takes a while. In your 20s, when you're motivated mostly by emotional content, you hear somebody say, well, we need a red flag law. Red flag law, so that's the answer. Yeah, red flag law, red flag law. Okay, define what you mean by red flag law. Define what you're talking about. I'm all for having a system that weeds out individuals who are mentally incompetent, have some kind of emotional disturbance. They are psychologically unfit to have a weapon. There are people who shouldn't even be around sharp objects. Okay, they shouldn't even have scissors, pointed scissors. Okay, there's no question that there are individuals like that. Now, tell me, who gets to decide, first of all, who those people are and what kind of standards we're going to have and what kind of accountability there's going to be to those standards? Because they don't want to talk about that. They just want to have, this is like the no-fly list. All of a sudden, you find yourself on it and you don't know why, and there's no way you can appeal to get off of it. There are people still on a no-fly list who were accidentally put on it, and they can't get their name off. Tell me, do you know the governing body, the oversight commission that is in charge of the no-fly list? Can you name the organization, the agency that's in charge of it? Who knows? Do you know? I do. You probably don't. All we know is that it's out there, and somehow the president probably has something to do with it. No, maybe it's Congress. I don't. Who knows? Who even knows what division of our governance system is overseeing it? If you know the agency, do you know who actually controls that agency? Who can fire anybody in that agency? What kind of oversight does it have? What kind of accountability does it have? Nobody knows. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about giving red flag legislation to another governing body that's supposed to fix the problem. We need to do something. Now, let me be very clear about something about the news cycle. This is the news according to me. This is my segment on the news according to me, because this is how the news works. You're going to see every single shooting that happens, anything they can find, any kind of shooting at all, is going to be plastered all over network news everywhere. It's going to be, the AP is going to put it out there, the Associated Press. The Associated Press is basically a conglomerate of all news organizations. When you become a member of that, then you can be your own newscaster. You can find news, you can go out and put post news places, and you post it on the AP, and then people can nationally pick up that news. It's kind of a clearinghouse of news stuff. So you'll find video. If you're on the AP, you can find like raw data video of just random events that happened. And what they do is they can, so the people who are running the AP, the people who are deciding what gets posted, that's available, they can start posting all this gunshot stuff and any kind of gun crime, any kind of anything that's suitable for, you know, for the agenda, the narrative. They start posting more of that, and it gets picked up more and more. Of course, right now they're hungry for any kind of gun crimes that they can find, because that's in the news. So they got to find any kind of gun crime. And so that's what they'll do. They'll do this. So they manipulate what it's all of a sudden. It seems like there's just shootings all over the place now. All of a sudden it's all, well, why are there shootings everywhere right now? First of all, you do have a lot of mental problems from young people, especially who have been desocialized and criminally, just messed up because of what has gone on with these lockdowns over the last 2 years. Some very disturbed individuals that just kind of went off the edge. You have such a chaotic world. They're not giving. When was the last time you heard the president or Congress or anybody for that matter in the news talk about the role that faith plays in our nation? You don't hear that anymore. I don't even know if Congress even says a prayer before they get started anymore. I think they abolished that. The Democrat Party. Some of them claim to be. They'll bring up Bible verses and scripture and tell you what all about Jesus and everything he's supposed to exemplify. When they can stick that in your face, like as if there's some kind of theologian. You know, Whoopi Goldberg is famous for this. Well, Jesus is not about this. He's about that. He's about this or all that. Oh, you're a follower, then. You understand everything he's talking about. You know, you're going to tell me what you think that communion is. You're going to tell me what you think that Jesus taught about sexual immorality. Because you know, you studied it so much, and now you're an expert. Yeah. Speaking of the View, Joy Behar said some things recently that were just ridiculous. There was actually a person there on the panel giving a very cogent argument to some things and had some good points to say. I thought this is an intelligent conversation we're having. And Joy jumps in there with a stupid statement that even contradicted the very facts that the other person was giving. She jumped in, she got the audience to clap, and then she went on to the next point. She just completely ignored the person. Of course, the other person just happened to be black. But she didn't like what she was saying. It just, to me, it was the most kind of, and then what she said was very derogatory towards black people. She said, well, when black people start owning guns, the laws are going to change. What does that even mean? First of all, black people do own guns. What does she act like? And if you're pro black people owning guns, well, then you fit right into the mission statement of how the NRA was established and started. The NRA was actually first started to arm the black community, the African-American community. I'm not sure what's politically correct anymore to say. It's confusing to me. It changes from one day to the next, and it seems like one area changes. One area is acceptable and one area is not. I just never know. And so the African-American community, they were their whole organization was put together to arm black people in southern states where the Democrats, not the Democratics, but the Democrats were oppressing them. Because guess what? The gun spelled liberty. It was able to give them the tools they needed for their freedom. Speaking of this whole Democrat thing, you know, It was actually a Fox News thing. I think it was, what's her name? Kennedy. Had a little, let me see if I can find the title of this thing. I can only see it now. Where'd it go? Yeah, it's probably long buried. The morning news cycle will just get piled loaded with all kinds of stuff. And we haven't even begun to talk about the January 6th commission. I'm going to talk about that in a minute because it's not worth talking about, but I want to talk about it because that's what I do here. I talk about stuff that's worthless. But you pay, you know, you get what you pay for here, like, by the way. Think about how much you paid to watch this, to listen to this, to watch it too as well. Oh, this is, there's about four different Capitol police officers who've become very popular because the January 6th Commission has paraded them around because they have the right talking points. Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of Capitol police officers. They found a few of them that have come out and been willing to be the face of the Capitol Police. If I was a Capitol Police officer right now and those guys were representing me, I would be absolutely appalled. I don't know if I would just quit or if I would just come out and say, you know what, these people don't represent me. What they're saying is not what I don't agree at all. I can't find it right now, but it was something to do with a Democratic senator. I don't see it. It must have been something from yesterday because it's really gone. A Democratic senator comes out and says something. What it was, the whole story, by the way, it was kind of interesting as well. The Democratic senator, as they called it. Of course, I made a comment on it. I said, the only problem I have with this video is the title. It's a Democrat senator, not a Democratic senator. She was elected with a Democratic process, if you want to call it that, supposedly. I said supposedly she was elected with a Democratic process, but she's not a Democratic. She's a Democrat. I think it takes away from the word Democratic if you start calling these people Democratic, like as if they're more Democratic than you are. No, they're Democrats. It's a party label. Don't change it to Democratic. I know this seems like I'm splitting hairs here, but it really is an important distinction to make. Now, what's funny is I started making this distinction about 2 years ago, three years ago, when I started hearing this happen. And I noticed that at some point, Donald Trump actually made this comment. And I think it was in a tweet. He actually, this before he got booted off, he said something about, it's actually the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party. I saw, he must listen to the show. That's all I can figure out is he must listen to me. Because I've been making this point for a while. And in my opinion, it's a significant distinction that needs to be made at some point. So this story was about this senator from Michigan. There's more stuff about Michigan as well. The gubernatorial candidate, by the way, was just arrested. How convenient. By guess who? The January 6th Commission. This is, if you don't see the January 6th Commission as a serious, just a political witch hunt, I don't know what else to call it. It's an atrocious thing, and it's just ridiculous. But the story was, she drove her electric car. She finally saved up enough chips. She said she saved up enough chips to buy an electric vehicle and drive from Michigan to Washington. Spent the weekend. Of course, you had to spend a whole weekend. I could go there today. I could leave right now and be in Washington, D.C. by the end of the day in my car. Can you do that in an electric car? No, you can't. Not yet. It's close. You might be able to get there before midnight. Maybe. If you planned it really well. But I kind of doubt it. However, my point is, she drove this thing, and she drove past gas stations and didn't care how much the gas prices were. See, they love, this is them showing their, first of all, their life in a bubble. They don't understand what it is to, I don't, just like, it's like, you, they couldn't have just grown up this way. Now, keep in mind, Sandy Cortez also has an electric vehicle, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She grew up being called Sandy all of her life, and all of a sudden she became Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She has an electric vehicle. She has a Tesla, I believe. She's talking about selling it because she didn't like Elon Musk. Because all of a sudden he was going to buy Twitter and allow other people to come back and say whatever they wanted to say on it. Oh, I'm going to sell my, I don't want that. Can't have that. I'm going to sell my Tesla. Well, it's kind of late for that, actually. You already bought it. He already got your money. He's not going to make your money. He's not going to get any money. He's not going to hurt him at all for you to sell your used Tesla. So we ended up, this lady drove to Washington, and she made this comment about how she would look out her window at the peasants. She didn't say this, but this is kind of the attitude that came across. At the unbathed masses buying their dinosaur fuel from the pumps, their carbon emissions spewing out from the. I had to turn my recycle button on my. So I had recycled air in my car as I drove past these places with the putrid smell of these people. Yeah. She didn't care what the fuel prices were. This is a thumb in the face of everybody who has a normal job, normal work person who just doesn't, you know, right now you can't even afford to put the gas in your car, but you can't afford to buy, certainly can't afford to go out and spend $60,000 on an electric car. So, and of course, on top of that, now this is the weird part of this whole thing. They want you to buy electric cars, but then they have no way of taxing you. So they're already trying to introduce this per mile tax. Every time you drive your car a mile, you have to pay a tax. Because if you can go home and charge your car up from your home electric system, guess what? You're not paying anymore. You're not paying road tax. You're not paying all this stuff. Now, maybe they'll have to get you either through your license plate. Oh, you have an electric vehicle? It's okay. That car was going to cost you $4,000 for a license plate for this year. It's not that much, but they're going to charge you more money because they don't get road tax, they don't get wheel tax, they don't get all this federal excise tax and all the other things that happen. But when you, I don't know what all the taxes are. There's some states have more than others, and it's ridiculous. The amount of money you pay in taxes, and it's all hidden in the fuel price. Even your sales tax typically is hidden in the fuel price. The actual amount of money that's the per gallon cost that you're paying is way less. Some states actually have it. You have to itemize it on their receipt. They have to actually see how much tax they're paying. They have to have a breakdown. I think that's a good idea. Some states don't have that. Anyway, this is how disingenuous it was. But that's the whole Democratic story. So the Republican, speaking of Michigan, the Republican gubernatorial candidate apparently had been arrested. Because I guess he had some involvement with the Proud Boys or whatever he was doing on January 6th. He was probably just in the Capitol area. Maybe he went in the building. I don't know. Now, they're going to show, and this is getting into this whole January 6th thing. First of all, if you look at the rules for setting up a select committee like this, they're supposed to have 13 people on it. They have 9. Of those 13, there is supposed to be at least 5 of the minority party. And guess who gets to pick who gets to be on that minority party? The minority party. Under counsel and advisement from the majority party, the minority party, in this case will be the Republicans in the House, get to choose who's going to be on this committee. Well, the Republican Party did decide who was going to be on their party, in the committee. Jordan and Lee. They allowed us two. When I say us, I mean the Republicans. Whatever. I'm not sure I consider myself a Republican, right? So they allowed two. I'm certainly not a Democrat, and I look at them as the Democrats, and then there's everybody else. And when I'm talking about Democrats now, I'm talking about the new Democrat Party, which is mostly leftist wackos. Alan Dershowitz actually gave a little commentary on his opinion of what's going on with this January 6th commission, and he compared it to what was going on with the 9/11 commission and how different this is. And it all made sense. Alan Dershowitz, he's a Democrat. He's a known Democrat. But he is an old school Democrat. He's a statesman. He's not the typical. I don't know anything about his personal life. I don't know what the guy's about, but I do know that he understands the law and he understands what's going on here. And he said, this is a charade. He said, every law counselor that I've seen that actually has an objective opinion about this is saying this thing is completely, some of them won't go as far to say it's illegal, but they'll say it's complete sham. Robert Gouveia, very clearly spells it out. There needs to be 13 people, five of which need to be from the minority party. And there needs to be cross-examination of all the witnesses and all the testimony. And it's very clear as to how this is, under this clause that they're using, is it 503, whatever it is, 503 something, I think, or whatever it is, to set up an independent commission like this. It's supposed to be bipartisan, which is still going to be partisan because it's still awkward because you have an odd number and the majority of them are still going to be in the majority party. However, they've even made it worse than that. They've made it fewer people, 9, and they've reduced the number from 5 to 2 of the minority party. So they've reduced the number from 13 to 9, which is a four-person, it's four fewer people, and 3 of those fewer are the minority party. So the percentages are even worse now. And the only two that they allowed were two that they picked. Well, no, we don't want Jordan and Lee. We want Kinzinger and Cheney because we know that they hate Trump. We know that they have that loathing of Trump seething through their veins. We need to have those two people there because they're biased enough to come along with us. And you got Kinzinger, who's in tears, telling us, "Oh, you guys held the line. You guys saved our country." Yeah, do you really think? Let's back up here for just a second. We came so close to losing our democracy. Well, no, the democracy you want. First of all, we don't have a democracy. I know this point's been. My listeners understand this. I hope. We don't have a democracy, okay? We have a democratic process that elects representatives that represent us in a constitutional republic. Okay, that's what we have. We have a constitutional republic. And they would like us to think that this is all part of a democracy. That's a sub-part of a democracy. No, not really. It really isn't. Because every single individual basically is their own little dictator. You have the right to rule your own life. You are sovereign in and of yourself. As long as your rights, your exercising of your rights, don't affect someone else's rights. You don't have the right to do donuts in somebody's lawn. That's their property, and you can't go in and destroy their property. You have to go back and make them whole. Anything you take from someone else, you need to go back and make them whole through the legal process. You can't just throw your trash on somebody else's lawn. You don't have the freedom to do that. You can throw trash on your own lawn. In some places, you can't do that because it affects the property value of the places around you. So some cities have said, no, we have an ordinance where you can't throw your trash out in your yard there because, first of all, it blows over in your neighbor's yard. Now you're affecting them. And it also affects the property value. And that makes everybody's property value go down. Therefore, you've affected your property. This is how they justify it. They try to justify it this way. And I'm a kind of a purist when it comes to gun control as well. I don't think it should be a restriction at all. I mean, even automatic weapons, I don't think it should be restricted at all. However, I don't think there should be like a special tax you have to pay just to get an automatic weapon. I just think that's ridiculous. How many mass shootings are done with automatic weapons? And if you have an automatic weapon and you're going to use it in a crime, do you think you're going to have, I can't use it until I pay my little, I got to buy my little stamp here so I got my tax paid. I got to have all this stuff, and have all my stuff in order here before I use this thing to mass murder people. I don't think that's an issue. The Boston bombers used pressure cookers. I haven't seen any kind of restrictions on buying those. When you go in to buy one of those, they don't do a background check. One of the worst school massacres that ever happened in this country was in Michigan back in like 1929 or something. Some guy went nuts and started, there was no guns involved in it, in fact. He blew the school up. Went on some kind of weird psycho rampage of some sort. We don't want to talk about, that was a long time ago. And now we got this crazy knuckle thing going on about AR-15s. Because it looks like a military weapon. Well, it's a tactical weapon. They like to call it an assault rifle. They can't define what an assault rifle is. Well, it's just anything that looks like this. Well, that's an assault rifle. So it shoots the same bullet. Now, I personally do not own an AR-15. I own stuff that shoots .223. I own stuff that shoots .308. I have stuff that shoots .762x39. I have all of which are rifles. And I also have stuff that shoots, I also have handguns that shoot .223, and I have some that shoot .40 and .380, 9mm. I got some of that kind of stuff. Yeah, sure. Yep, why not? And I haven't committed any crimes with them. They want to get it to the point where just owning one is a crime. Even talking about the fact that you own one is a crime. You're a gun owner, you're a murderer, oh, you're scary. Well, the only people I want to be scared of me are people who want to come and take away my rights. If you have no intention of taking away my rights, guess what? You got no reason to be afraid of me. But you start trying to take my life, take my property, mess with me, or my family, and those rights will be defended viciously. That's the way it works. In fact, I would say I even have the right to defend my neighbors. Somebody comes into this neighborhood and just starts willy-nilly busting in, doing whatever they want to do next door. Guess who's going to come over and help? It's just the neighborly thing to do. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk a little bit more about this January 6th thing. They are using this as a political tool, and here's the sad part about it all. The whole thing is illegal on its face, first of all. And that's what Peter Navarro understands that. There's some other people who've bucked pushback, and Steve Bannon and some of those others have pushed back on the whole thing. They understand that it's completely illegal. However, here's the problem. We have a DOJ. At the top of that is, of course, Merrick Garland, who is, you know, the most wonderful person on the planet, who's signing off on all this stuff. Now, you can't tell me, first of all, that Peter Navarro, when they went to arrest him, they indicted him and they came up with this warrant going to go arrest him. Guess, do you think for a moment that Merrick Garland wasn't informed about this? Do you think for a moment, in fact, that Merrick Garland didn't approve it? This is a high-profile arrest of someone at an airport. Gee, this looks, you know, they could have just walked over to his house and gotten him. But no, that didn't work. Let's wait till he's at an airport where there's TV cameras. This happens to be, CNN happens to be there. Inside security. Anybody ever ask these questions? We have exclusive footage. They came on the news and said, we have exclusive footage of Peter Navarro being, oh, they love having the exclusive. Well, how'd you get the exclusive? Who told you this was going to happen? Did you just happen to be there with your cameras when this all happened? This is made for TV stuff, folks. In fact, it's so made for TV, they hired a TV documentarian to produce the whole thing that they're going to have on. They had it on last night. I think they're going to have it on the next next week or so. The first night was all just blowing smoke up their each other. And all they did was talk about how wonderful they are and how the guy who was the head of Bernie, he's the head of the committee, talking about how he's familiar with the oppression of the down in the South, down in Mississippi, when he was raised in Mississippi. And he goes on about this whole thing about discrimination, because they have to somehow tie this. They have to tie the whole thing to white supremacy and the racists out there, because of course they're Trump racist. Anything with Trump racist, MAGA racist. Jesse Smollett tried to do the same thing. This is MAGA country. No, you're in the middle of Chicago. I guarantee you, you don't run around in Chicago yelling, this is MAGA country. I've been in that area. I've been to that hotel. I actually stayed in the same hotel he was in. I'm familiar with that area. No, you don't find a couple of white guys out middle of the night, or in this case, black guys, wearing MAGA hats, running around talking about with a gallon of bleach. Why are they out in 4-degree weather? Actually, -4, I think it was. With bleach and a rope for to make a noose. And they recognize this guy from Empire. I guarantee you. I see a lot of people. When I'm traveling, I see a lot of people. And I'm sure I've walked past some people who, if I saw them on television, I would know who they are. When I see them walk by, they might look a little familiar, but I have no idea. People in person look totally different, and they can get away with walking around, especially when they have a hat and sunglasses on. You have no idea who they are. Unless they have their entourage with them, or they're being hauled around on a special little cart. Somebody, who was it that was in the... And you would know, what was her name? She was coming through the airport one time, and I guess she was on one of those little carts and a little thing that they were, you know, beep, beep, beep. The thing comes down the thing, and it's special haul around cart type thing. And she had her face all covered up, and she had a hat on. Of course, this was during COVID, so there was shit. That's why she had the face mask on, but it was convenient. And she was wearing sunglasses. It's almost so conspicuous that she probably could just walk down the terminal with normal clothes on. Nobody would have recognized her. She was all gussied up and with all this stuff on, like, look at me, I'm a movie star, but don't talk to me because I'm a movie star. I have to be specially escorted so I'm not mobbed by all my fans. And I can't remember what her name was. That's how popular she is. It's that's how people, they start to think, because they're surrounded by these people who laud them all the time. And once you step outside that little circle, nobody knows who they are, and they don't care. They're just trying to put gas in their tank. And it's so easy for us as human beings to fall into this trap when we surround ourselves with fans, so to speak. Yeah. So this whole commission thing, it's one of the very first things this guy said in the opening statements was, "We want you to get to know us because we all come from different backgrounds, from rural and to." It's not about you. See, this is about them again. Now, here we want to know the facts of this case and what their whole goal in this whole thing is, to vilify Donald Trump. And people aren't buying it. Everybody I talk to, the people that are being polled, all the polls are saying they don't care about this thing. Now, their attempt here is to put this is to shove it in the face of the American people. And this because they really think, well, if they just saw what we see, they would change their minds. They might sway a few voters. This is their last hurrah before the elections, folks. They know that if they don't get this done, if they can't push back a little bit, and at best here, folks, at best, they're only going to save maybe one or two seats. Maybe all it takes. Now, the Republicans seem to think that they're not going to take the House, or that they're not going to take the Senate. They're going to take the House this time, but they're not going to take the Senate. I got news for you, buddy. Pal, I got news for you, pal. Well, that's a whole other thing. We're going to talk about Jimmy Kimmel here in a little bit. No joke. The Senate, if it's not a landslide, then there's nefarious things going on. I don't think they know what a landslide is. If our country continues to go in this direction up until November, which I don't see it changing direction anytime soon, they're doubling down. I mean, you have the House press secretary saying, we're in a very good position, and the economy is historically not that bad. What? Well, we're in a very good position right now to fight inflation. We've positioned ourselves very, very well to fight inflation. Oh, you mean you have, like personally, you've got enough money to buy gas for the next 2 years. So when you talk about we, who are we talking about? This reminds me of we had a Democrat mayor in the town where that's where I have my office, the main headquarters for the News According to Me. I'm at my home studio again this morning. I live outside of town. I live in the same county, but I live outside of town. I live in the country. And I was watching this show one time because there was nothing else on. And this Democrat mayor of the town here was being interviewed, and he said, "How's Elkhart doing?" The interviewer said, "How's Elkhart doing?" Now, you could tell that this was scripted and they had the questions were already pre-planned. You could tell he knew what was coming, which I thought it was kind of, they weren't very good actors. Neither one of them was a very good actor. And you could just tell that it was awkward because they were trying to go through a script. Now, maybe they just sat down 15 minutes prior and said, this is the questions I'm going to ask you. But nonetheless, they knew the direction the questions were going to come from, and he knew what the questions were to be. So the one thing he says is, well, the city's doing very well. And now, he wasn't talking about the people of the community. This was during the 2008 economy crash. Economic situation. He was talking about the city, the corporation, the city itself, the bureaucracy. It's doing very well. Because that's the way they see this as being, we should only care about the city itself. We're all here just to serve the city. We don't care about the people. We don't care about the industries that make up, you know, that work here, the people, the jobs, the situation. There were people losing their jobs like crazy here. And that didn't matter. The city was in very good shape. He was talking about the bureaucracy. Now, when they talk about this, this is the mentality you have to understand of politicians. when they think of what's the state of the union, what's the state of the country, they're thinking about what's the state of the government. And when you get back to this whole thing of the January 6th Commission and how we almost lost our democracy, do you really think that everybody in the country would have just sat back and done nothing if a few wackos would have gone in and tried to kill people in our government? Do you think the military would have at some point stepped in here? Do you think that the other police departments and state officials and the FBI and everybody else that's armed wouldn't have stepped in to say, hey, these crimes need to be, instead of they almost committed these crimes. Well, you can't arrest someone for almost committing a crime. And it's really hard to prove intent. When they did finally get in and all they did was walk around and sit down and take pictures of things and move podiums around and somebody took somebody's laptop. Which that whole debacle is still a debacle, by the way. I'm not sure they've ever retrieved Nancy Pelosi's laptop, by the way. Maybe they retrieved it and they thought it was Hunter Biden's. I don't know. Maybe they got that mixed up. Speaking of which, look, at the middle of so many of these things that happen is the FBI. Now, ironically, the FBI is now being sued because some girls in gymnastics who were being molested by a trainer or therapist or whatever he was, they reported him to the FBI, and they did nothing for over a year. In the meantime, while this non-investigation was going on, because they were too busy trying to find white supremacists, these girls kept getting molested. More girls were getting molested after they reported this thing. Well, they're now being sued for about $2 billion or whatever it is. It's a ridiculous amount of money, but they deserve a penny of it. And here we go again with the upper echelon of the FBI needs to be dismantled. And this is my cure for this whole thing. Speaking of cure, there's one more really good news story I want to end the whole show with. But I digress. The cure for this FBI issue is to compartmentalize the upper management of the FBI. Really, the only upper management that should be there is the president, his office. That's it. He can fire the head of the FBI. He's in charge of that whole thing. He needs to go in and just redesign the whole thing so that nobody knows what the other person's working on. They're all assigned different tasks, and you have one director, and that director is directly accountable to a direct report type person, and that person should be the president or possibly the DOJ and Attorney General. And that somebody needs to have some transparency and some accountability to everything that goes on there. If that person screws up or does something wrong, that person hangs for the whole thing. Someone under their direction does something that they knew was going on, they should be accountable for that. But this little stuff where they're running around at each other's office having these little meetings, special meetings about how they're going to execute their insurance plan, their insurance policy against Trump possibly winning the election, text messages going back and forth and cheating on each other's wives, that's got to stop. This is just a patent place of all kinds of ridiculous nuts. Peter Navarro needs to get some, there's no question, he needs some defense attorney. There's so many things he could have done. He's trying to shoot from the hip on his legal counsel. These people are going to eat him alive. They're not going to mess around. They know how to play, they can play him like a fiddle when he thinks he's going to represent himself. Unfortunately, people who are really intelligent have a tendency to think they can do this and get away with it. and they don't know what the right questions are to ask. They don't know the right way to do things. Robert Gavario was whatever. Watching the Watchers guy. He talked about how he would have approached the FBI. He would have had these people impeached completely and fired because of what they did to him. And he talked about how he would go about an investigation into what was going on around the whole thing. And he would be merciful or merciless, I think, in terms of going after them, in terms of what they've done to him. He's a vicious defense attorney. He works out of the state of Arizona, but he would have been much better off. Navarro would have been much better off having him as counsel, at least to give him some advice. It'd be worth the money because, frankly, Navarro, you know, he's got the right answers. His problem is he's not able to manipulate the system to his advantage. It's all part of the game. To be able to position and jockey yourself into a position where you have some leverage, and it's because his defense, his life is at stake here. I mean, they could really ruin him. He's 72 years old here. They could ruin him for nothing. He had nothing to do with any of this stuff. The only thing that they're getting him for is for not cooperating with their stupid investigation. All of a sudden, he's a criminal because they're trying to investigate him to see if he's a criminal. Completely unconstitutional. Come up with probable cause, come up with a crime, and then arrest the guy and try him speedily. And you better have some evidence. Not, hey, we have to conduct an investigation to find out if you've committed any crimes. No, that's not the way it works. That's the way they've treated Trump for 4 years. Well, the investigation's ongoing. What's your evidence? Well, the investigation's ongoing. Well, the investigation will play out and we'll find out what there is. So in other words, you're just out there investigating and you don't have a crime yet. Well, no, but we'll find one. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what Stalin said. But that's okay. We can use that. Nobody knows what Stalin said. But I digress. I'm going to listen to Mark Dice here in a little bit to find out what he says about it. It looks like he's got a little thing on the committee. He's got Kinzinger and Cheney and little clown outfits. So that should be interesting. But here's some good news for the day. And this is the best news, very shockingly good news. And I'm surprised it's not on every single. Of course, this is coming out right at the same time the January 6th Commission comes out. And of course, that's all they're talking about is January 6th. And of course, the MSNBC, all they talk about is what's making news at MSNBC is the fact that Fox isn't, they're all upset that Fox isn't broadcasting the January 6th Commission. it's like, what we're going to lead with this story. The story is our competitors aren't doing what we're doing. They're not paying attention to us. That's their story. The point is, they don't have to. They got their audience is much larger than what the MSNBC thing is. So they have to stick it in our faces. They have to come out. We have to have a prime time show. We have to get this out there. Put our little story out. We got our whole thing now figured out. We got all this stuff. We got all this dirt. We're going to come up with some new evidence now. We got this new video we're going to show. Well, it's the same video. They've now rearranged it with a production part person who's going to, you know, make it all. It's so sad. It is so sad and yet sickening and yet so sad that there's people that believe in this stuff. They're so gullible from all this stuff. And people have worked themselves into a frenzy. By the way, there's some of these protesters that are out there right now are getting very brazen and they're getting extremely, they're so consumed with this, you know, I think it's a spiritual thing. I really do. This whole thing is a spiritual battle, but it's becoming very obvious that they're almost consumed with this demonic passion, this self-aggrandizing thing. this lady was standing out with a bullhorn in the president's motorcade, the street he was coming down for the motorcade, and she was standing out there with this bullhorn talking about, I don't know what she was yelling at, my body, my choice, something to do with something. And Secret Service came up and started taking her out of the way. She started fighting back, and she was like on the ground fighting, clawing, screaming with her message because she's so impassioned with this. I don't know what it is about this kind of thing that causes a person to think that they're actually doing some good, I guess, by doing this, that somehow they're getting their message out there and this is going to affect people in a positive way. I don't quite get it. This does not have a good effect on the nation in general. This does not win hearts and minds, as they say. But it's becoming much more prevalent. These people are pulling off their clothes. I'm not a big follower of one preacher down south. I call him Dolphin Face. He's always smiling. He's got kind of a smiley face. I'm not a big fan of his, by the way. Joel Osteen. But apparently in one of his church services recently, some of these three-year-olds or whatever started pulling their clothes off and started complaining and saying, my body, my choice. And of course, there's been attacks now on churches and broken windows and all kinds of things. You know, and that's okay because they're just protesting. It's mostly peaceful. And of course, then you have this attack on this potential attack that this guy was trying to kill Kavanaugh. We're coming for you, Kavanaugh. Gorsuch. Oh, was Schumer? Did you incite an insurrection there? Did you incite this guy? Charge him up a little bit? We're coming for you. We're going to face the whirlwind. Kind of like an anti-Fauci. Yeah, they sound more like Fauci than Schumer. I think they're cousins. So there's all this stuff. Now, I may have another show later tonight. I'm possibly going to have a show tomorrow morning because there's always that possibility. I do have to travel to Atlanta tomorrow afternoon. And I don't know if I'm going to get a show in the morning or not, but I've got pretty much all my whole week is kind of done. I do have a meeting to go to this evening, which is going to kind of keep me busy, but I got to restring my guitar. That's I got to do that. So that's going to take up most of my day. But the good news here, folks, this is amazing stuff. And I don't know why it's not being just like put out there everywhere, because this is pretty cool. The initial reports are, I realize this could really, it could backfire. It could be nothing, but it could really be something. There is a medicine. It's a monochromal treatment. It's very expensive. However, if you look at chemotherapy, it's not as expensive as chemo. And there's no side effects to this. Very little. It's not toxic at all. There's this monochromal medical treatment. I think it takes about 3 months, and it's three different doses or something like that, or something, number of doses that it is, something like that. It's like $100,000 for the whole thing, I think. Something like that. It's probably close to that, $60,000, whatever it is. And it actually is destroying cancer. There's some stomach cancer, I think, that they were testing on initially. And in 100% of the cases. Now, I don't know the specifics on this. Maybe Dr. John Campbell will actually do something about this, an article on this. He's one of the few people I trust with actually look through the information and disseminate it and make it like understandable. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this, but apparently every single test subject, the tumors that they had vanished and the cancer went into complete remission. 100% of the people. My understanding was there's at least 12 people in the study, may have been 14. These kind of numbers are they would have been happy with 30 or 40%. 100%. They're going to try to test this on some other forms of cancer, especially pancreatic and I think this was rectal cancer. I guess this was rectal cancer. They're going to test it on stomach cancers and some other things with concerning the gut. And this is very promising. This is incredible. Now, Biden, before the election, said, we're going to cure cancer. He was meaning he would cure it, basically, that the administration would cure it. Now, this is of course, being done by an independent, non-government thing. This could be a game changer for the world, folks. Of course, the problem with this is now people are going to live a lot longer. And they're going to die of old age. And they're going to have a lot more senility going on because people are going to live into those years when their brain starts to go away. I'm pretty close to that right now, I think. My mother is in a facility. Takes care of that kind of thing. Well, they're supposed to. And we'll get into that. And I'm probably going to be there next week, probably. So, as a resident, possibly, because of all this chai I drink, apparently. There might be a connection. So anyway, I want to thank you all for listening. And there was just a whole lot of news to go over today. And I couldn't really dive down deep on any of it too much, but I will, because that's my job here. That's why you pay so much money to listen to this show. You need to get what you pay for. So I'm working on that. Shabbat Shalom. It is Friday, and we are looking at the weekend. And I finally have accomplished a lot of things this week, so I can at least kind of just ease into it, kind of coast on in, get things. I even got the yard mowed already, so I'm kind of a little bit ahead. I got a few things I got to do, some straightening up and cleaning and all that kind of junk, but that's about it. In the meantime, I get to head off to Atlanta. I'll be in Atlanta till Wednesday. So the shows might be a little interesting next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. Have a great weekend. Take care.